Good morning. This is Lois Pouge reading the Vermilion County News for October the 12th, 2018. And we will start with an article with the headline, District 118 Considers Preschool Plan. Dateline Danville. Danville District 118 school board members discussed Wednesday night the need to expand the district's preschool program for 3 to 5 year olds. Assistant Superintendent of Elementary Education John Hart told board members that 10 classrooms with a maximum capacity of 305 children at Southwest Elementary School House school house the district's pre-kindergarten program. Right now, the program has 57 children on a waiting list. Hart said he would like to see the district add 3 all-day classrooms to the program to focus on 4-year-olds who need help making the transition to kindergarten. The recommendation would include hiring 3 teachers and 3 teaching assistants at a total cost of $315,000 to $320,000. The problem is Southwest does not have the additional 3 classrooms to spare. Hart said Liberty, Edison, and Garfield Elementary Schools all have lower enrollment this year. All 3 additional pre-kindergarten classrooms could be housed at one of the low enrollment schools, or the low enrollment schools could house 1 pre-kindergarten classroom each. Ideally, we would like to have a preschool center, Hart said. One school that has 14 classrooms and could accommodate a preschool center is Northeast Elementary Magnet School. Board members, however, said that would mean the district would have to use one of the low enrollment school buildings to house the magnet school, which would then prompt a comprehensive redistricting of the district. The last time redistricting took place was in the early 2000s, shortly after Southwest opened. Board members agreed to continue discussing the preschool program expansion at a facilities committee meeting. Also on Wednesday night, the board reviewed a first reading of the job description for the birth to three parent intake coordinator, heard an update on the Northwestern audit. Last year, Northwestern University's Educational Talent Search, who are experts in gifted and talented programming, recommended that District 118 expand its MATS, that's Motivating Academic Talented Students program, for 3rd, 4th, and 5th grades, which is housed at Mark Denman Elementary School, to include 2nd grade. An existing teacher in the district was trained to be the MATS 2nd grade teacher this year. This year, Northwestern University will review DHS's Honors and Advanced Placement programs to determine how rigorous the curriculum is and whether students are college ready. The cost of the audit will be covered by Title I funding. Reviewed a letter required by the federal Every Student Succeeds Act for schools receiving Title I funding that will notify parents of their right to request specific information regarding the professional qualification of their student's classroom teacher. This information includes whether the teacher has met state certification requirements, whether the teacher is teaching under emergency or provisional status, the bachelor's degree major of the teacher, any other certification or degrees held by the teacher, and the subject areas of the certification or degrees, and the qualifications of the teacher aides, paraprofessionals, whether a child is provided service by them. In addition, some parents will receive a letter if their children's classroom is being taught by a substitute teacher. Approved continuing the Lead for Life project at DHS. The project provides weekly leadership and life skills-themed motivational workshops during the school day for freshmen and sophomores. This school year, Lead for Life will partner with DHS's Twilight School to conduct weekly after-school programming that focuses on implementing techniques that help students develop essential life skills and confidence. Learned that district officials are looking at all the hazardous transportation routes in the district, such as railroad tracks and 4-lane roads, so that District 118 may be correctly reimbursed by the state for providing safe transportation to students. The district has not asked the state to reevaluate the district's transportation routes since 1994. Since then, some streets, such as East Main Street, have been widened to 4 lanes from 2 lanes. Approved offering Delta dental insurance to teachers, teaching assistants, and secretaries, as well as food service and buildings and grounds workers. The dental plan would be at no cost to the district. Employees would pay 100% of the cost. Approved purchasing 7 properties near DHS for a total of $58,000. The properties are 704, 810, and 812 Hazel Street, 444, 607, and 1002 Jackson Street, and 920 Chicago Street. Approved a request to find out how much it would cost to purchase a new pickup truck for the maintenance department to replace a 2001 truck. Approved a request to add a full-time general maintenance worker, painter, and to post the job. Heard a presentation from Aaron Merchant of BLDD Architects of Champaign about renovating all 6 restrooms in the circa 1924 section of Danville High School next summer. The project, which is estimated to cost between $500,000 and $700,000, would include replacing the fixtures and the turquoise, pink, and yellow tile with modern porcelain tile. And the next article has the headline, Playground Dream Becomes Reality, Covington Play Area to be Dedicated Tuesday. 8 Line Covington in Indiana. Everyone is invited to a giant community play date on Tuesday. That's when the Covington Community Playground will be dedicated, complete with food, music, ribbon cutting, and cupcakes, as well as the chance to try out the new equipment. The dedication ceremony will start at 5 p.m. Eastern Time Tuesday at the City Park. While that's exciting enough, there's another event coming up on Saturday that promises to be fun, according to Amanda Strasser, president of the City Park Board and co-founder of Friends of the Covington City Park. At 11 a.m. Eastern Time on Saturday, a film crew from Denmark will be present at the park to shoot a documentary about the grassroots project that started 3 years ago. Everyone is invited to that event, and you might even be part of the documentary. Starzer said the crew is with the Compan Company, K-O-M-P-A-N Company, which built most of the playground equipment in Denmark and then shipped it overseas. Compan's natural Robinia playgrounds have wooden equipment, which creates a natural play environment to encourage children to interact with natural materials and structures. One of the pieces is a castle, which is built on a mound that can double as a sledding area in the winter. The structure is the first compound castle in the United States. This is a big deal because there's only one other organic Robinia castle in Europe right now, Strasser said. The company hand sculpts a black locust tree for the castle. The wood is so durable that it is vandalism proof. The company is big on sustainability, Strasser said, which meshes well with the park's mission, too, of conserving water and using green products. Strasser said the landscape architect recommended Compan, and the price was based on U.S. government pricing. This is a special market of equipment. It is best on the environment and will be long-lasting, she said. Compan ships the equipment with no pre-drilled holes, and so precision playgrounds came in to put the pieces together. The community is really excited about the playground project, Strasser said. On Monday, Covington Elementary School students will give the playground a test run. First students to try out the equipment were in kindergarten when they won a pennies for the park contest. These students, who are second graders now, also will have their own ribbon cutting on Monday. The entire elementary school had raised $3,600 in 2 weeks, which was matched by the Covington Community Foundation. On Tuesday, people who attend the dedication can enjoy free food provided by Applewood Foods. Food will be set up as a compass, north, south, east, west, around the area for exploration. For example, Strasser said, Chicago hot dogs will be served in the north area of the park, and nachos will be served in the south. You can play and eat as you go, she said. To get the area ready for its grand opening, the Covington Middle School Student Council and Tectons, that's a service group, prepped the playground site by backfilling sidewalks, mulching, and planting native plants. In fact, Strausser said, the Covington Middle School made a difference in how quickly this got done. By doing that work, she said, it instilled a sense of community and ownership in the students. The splash pad's grand opening will be next spring, most likely on the Memorial Day weekend. More exciting news for the playground and the people involved in that Covington movie featured in the November issue of National Parks and Recreation magazine. The article will demonstrate how a small, rural community created a destination playground and how other small towns can design a playscape of their dreams, too. The playground has several unique features, including a butterfly garden, a parkour course, sand and water play area, and a splash pad, as well as the traditional swings and slides. The playground will be earth-friendly. The bathrooms will feature composting toilets, which are waterless, and skylights. The water at the sinks will be turned off in the winter, but sanitizer will be available. There will be an air dryer rather than paper towels. When the project began 3 years ago, it was a goal of the Friends of the Covington City Park to involve the community in every aspect as much as possible, Strausser said, to create both memories and a sense of respect and ownership for the new playground. Several service clubs, school groups, and individuals have pitched in. The Fountain Trust Company has been instrumental to this project coming to fruition. Another large stakeholder has been the Covington Community Foundation, where the Friends of the Covington City Park established a pass-through fund to take care of the accounting aspect of the $750,000 project. Indiana Department of Natural Resources and Land and Water Conservation Fund also were contributors to the project. Inspection for complete project will be October 29th. And now for the obituaries. And the first is for Paul Richard Tevabaugh, who died on Tuesday, October 9th, 2018. There will be a private family graveside service at 2 p.m. October 12th, that's today, at Resurrection Cemetery. A celebration of life will be at 6 p.m. tonight, October 12th, at Sarge's Tap, 408 East Main Street, Danville, for all family and friends. And the next is for Terry Cobbs, in quotes, Bolden, also known as Shy, 63 of Las Vegas, Nevada, formerly of Danville, Illinois, who died on September 28th, 2018. A visitation will commence from 11 a.m. noon, Saturday, October 13th, at Lincoln Sons Funeral Home, 304 East William Street, Danville. A memorial service will follow. And the next is for Earl Millard, or Millard Jones, 94 of Danville, who died at 1:05 p.m. Sunday, October 7th. A celebration of Edward Millard Jones's life will be at 1 p.m. Saturday, that's tomorrow, October 13th, at Hope United Church of Christ, with Pastor Frank Haas officiating. He will be laid to rest following the services in Embury Cemetery with military rites, conducted by the Potomac American Legion. Visitation will be from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Saturday at the church. Memorials may be made to the UAW Local 579. And the next is for Alma Joyce Ring of Carmel, Indiana, who died on Tuesday, October 9th. Services will be at 3 p.m. Sunday, October 14th, at Flanner Buchanan Carmel, 325 East Carmel Drive. Visitation will be 1 p.m. until the time of service at the funeral home. Graveside services will be at 11 a.m. Central Time Monday, October 15th at Mount Olive Cemetery in Urbana. And now back to news articles. And this one has the title, Pickin' in the Pumpkin Patch. Preschoolers enjoy fall activities. Dateline Danville, dozens of preschoolers enjoyed a morning full of Halloween treats and games, plus a pumpkin to take home Thursday at St. James United Methodist Church. First graders, kindergartners, and preschoolers from Danville and other schools from around Vermillion County, as well as local daycare centers, visited the church's 15th annual Pumpkin Patch event this week. We send invitations to the county schools, but it's mostly Danville children who show up, said Nancy Henderson, one of the Pumpkin Patch organizers. We expect up to 700 children this year, said Cheryl Clapp, another Pumpkin Patch organizer. Volunteers and church members every year help run the activities, which this year included decorating pumpkin-shaped cookies, face painting, and story reading time. The children also participated in a variety of games, including tossing beanbags into the mouth of a wooden cutout jack-o'-lantern. We have lots of volunteers from the church that help out, Henderson said. They play games with the kids and read stories to them. Youngsters also had their photos snapped as they sat on hay bales or stuck their heads through a fall-themed cutout. The best part of the event is the actual pumpkin patch on the front lawn of the church, where children get to pick a pumpkin to take home, Henderson said. The church purchased 700 to 800 pumpkins for this event from a family farm near Bismarck, she said. Prior to it becoming a school event, the church used to sell pumpkins from the patch to community members. This is the 15th year the church has done this for the schools, Henderson said. Schools don't have much money for field trips, so this is in town and inexpensive. And now an article with the headline, Oakwood Ready for Loves to Open. Dateline Oakwood, the new Loves Travel Stop, is starting to take shape on the north side of Interstate 74 and the Oakwood exit. Mayor Clay Woodard said he expects Love's Travel Stop, which will include Hardee's, to open the last week of November, although the timing of the opening has fluctuated in recent months as completion of the project draws near. They're working on the interior and stocking shelves, he said. The Love's website has 7 jobs posted for the Oakwood location that may be applied for now. Woodard said Love's will create 70 full-time and part-time jobs in the area. It's going to be a nice addition to the community, he said. It will be quite a financial boost to the school district. That's because a 20-year tax increment financing, or TIF, district is set to expire in 2020. Woodard said the purpose of the TIF is to encourage economic development by abating taxes to businesses interested in coming to Oakwood. Little did the village board know when it created the TIF in 2002 that the I-74 Auto Truck Plaza would close in October 2007 and sit idle for more than 10 years. After the property went into foreclosure sometime in 2013 and its former owners returned to India, the village of Oakwood ended up taking possession of the parcel in mid-2014 after agreeing to pay Cranberry Financial LLC $10,000 for promissory notes and the mortgage. After the village gained possession of the property, 10 underground fuel storage tanks were removed and work began last year to clean the contaminated soil at the site using leaking underground storage tank funds from IEPA. Love's Travel Stops and Country Stores of Oklahoma City purchased the 18-acre site for $342,500 in October 2015. In other business, Monday night at the Oakwood Village Board meeting, board members recognized Oakwood Police Chief Derek Weston, Illinois State Trooper Bobby Woodard, and Vermillion County Sheriff's Department Sergeant Bill Hurt for saving the life of Rantoul resident Thomas Hall. Hall was taking photos of a tractor parade through central Vermillion County in August during a 100th anniversary celebration of the Vermillion County Farm Bureau when he had a heart attack and collapsed, Mayor Woodard said. He was actually deceased, but they were able to bring him back, said Mayor Woodard, who is the brother of Bobby Woodard. The proof The board approved designating the first week of May as Police Officer Week in Oakwood in recognition of the men's efforts to save Hall's life. The board approved donating $250 to the Oakwood High School Post-Prom Committee. The group of parents organizes a lock-in after prom each year, where teens can gather for pizza and games until 6 a.m. Woodard said the parents rented the Edge in Danville for last year's post-prom event. It keeps the kids safe, he said. The board approved donating $1,000, the corporate level, to keep Vermilion County beautiful. It's a positive thing for Vermilion County, and we also get a seat on their board, Woodard said. Woodard said he asked for volunteers and first responders who would be paid per run to join the Oakwood Emergency Rescue Service. An individual can be as young as 16, as long as they have a valid driver's license, he said. And now for community briefs. And the first one, two, three, four are from Danville. And the first has the headline, Her House Fundraiser. Her House Maternity Home will have its annual spaghetti dinner and raffle at 5 p.m. Saturday at Crossroads Church, 3613 North Vermilion Street. Tickets, which are $10, are available online at www.herhouseministry.org. And on the night of the event, funds will provide shelter and educational programs for pregnant women who are homeless or displaced. For information, call 213-9212. And the second brief has the title, Concert Scheduled. Fairhope Benefit Concert will begin at 5 p.m. Saturday in St. James United Methodist Church, 504 North Vermilion Street, featuring North Street Soul and Dan First. Proceeds will go to Fairhope and to aid in its goal of a new building. Fairhope provides clothing, car seats, portable cribs, backpacks, and school supplies to local families in need. Donations of gently used clothing and new underwear and socks for boys and girls will be accepted at the concert. A free will donation will be collected. And the next brief has the title, Dogs Up for Adoption. Coldwell Banker, the real estate group, 3609 North Vermilion Street, plans a Homes for Dogs weekend, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Saturday. Adoptable pets from the Humane Society of Danville will be at the location. And the last of the briefs from Danville has the title, Candidate to Visit. Democrat Kevin Gaither, candidate for the 15th Congressional District, will lay out his platform and answer questions at 2 p.m. Sunday at Sarge's Tap, 409 East Main Street. And the last of the briefs comes from Potomac. And the title says it all, Legion Plans Meal. Harry Carpenter, Legion Post 428-101 North Grant Street, plans a chicken and fish fry from 4:30 to 7 p.m. Saturday. And now an article with the headline, Festival of Trees tickets on sale today, Dateline Danville. Area residents can get into the holiday spirit early with OSF Healthcare Sacred Heart Medical Center's 22nd Annual Festival of Trees. The 2018 event, Let Heaven and Nature Sing, will be November 10th to the 14th at David S. Palmer Arena in Danville, according to a release from OSF Healthcare. Tickets go on sale at 10 a.m. today and can be purchased at the David S. Palmer Arena, 100 Main Street, online at https://palmerarena.com or by phone at 1-800-514-3846. 49, I'm sorry. I'm having trouble with numbers lately. 3849. Ticket prices vary for each Festival of Trees event. The Festival of Trees is a magical way to start the holiday season with something special for everyone, said Angie Lazelle, OSF Healthcare Foundation Festival of Trees coordinator, in the release. Our committees are working hard to make each and every event exceptional again this year. Favorites returning from last year include the Children's Holiday Breakfast, the Ladies' Luncheon, the Princess Tea Party, the Crystal Ball, and the Family Pajama Party. To learn more about the 22nd annual event, visit the Festival of Trees Facebook page at www.facebook.com/Festival of Trees Danville, all one word. Proceeds will fund new 3D mammography equipment for the Women's Healthcare Center at OSF Sacred Heart. Platinum sponsor for the Festival of Trees is the Julius W. Hegeler II Foundation, and diamond sponsor is Iroquois Federal. And now, an article on Social Security. And the article has the headline, Social Security checks will grow in 2019. Dateline Washington. Tens of millions of Social Security recipients and other retirees will get a 2.8% boost in benefits next year as inflation hedges higher. It is the biggest increase most retired baby boomers have seen. Following a stretch of low inflation, the cost of living adjustment, or COLA, for 2019 is the highest in 7 years. It amounts to $39 a month for the average retired worker, according to estimates released Thursday by the Social Security Administration. The COLA affects household budgets for about 1 in 5 Americans, including Social Security beneficiaries, disabled veterans, and federal retirees. That's about 70 million people, enough to send ripples through the economy. Unlike most private pensions, Social Security has featured inflation protection since 1975. Beneficiaries also gain from compounding, since COLAs become part of their underlying benefit, the base for future cost of living increases. Nonetheless, many retirees and their advocates say the annual adjustment is too meager and doesn't reflect higher health care costs for older people. Federal budget hawks take the opposite view, arguing that increases should be smaller to reflect consumers' penny-pinching responses when costs go up. With the COLA, the estimated average monthly Social Security payment for a retired worker will be $1,461 a month next year. For more recent retirees, the 2019 COLA will be the largest increase they have gotten to date, said policy analyst Mary Johnson of the nonpartisan Senior Citizens League. But retiree Dennett Deacon of Bolivar, Missouri, said she feels as though her cost of living adjustment is earmarked for rising expenses. Her Medigap insurance for costs not covered by Medicare is going up, and so is her prescription drug plan. She expects her Medicare Part B premium for outpatient care will also go up. It isn't enough of an increase that it takes care of all the increases from health care plus rent. Our rent gets increased every year, said Deacon 70, who worked in the finance department at a boat dealership. Health care costs eat up about one-third of her income, she estimated. I appreciate the COLA adjustment, and in no way am I complaining, Deacon added. It's just that every single thing you can talk about goes up. It doesn't go down. By law, the COLA is based on a broad index of consumer prices. Advocates for seniors claim the general index doesn't accurately capture the rising prices they face, especially for health care and housing. They want the government to switch to an index that reflects the spending patterns of older people. What the COLA should be based on is still a very real issue, said William Arnone, CEO of the National Academy of Social Insurance, a research organization not involved in lobbying. Older people spend their money in categories that are going up at a higher rate than overall inflation. This has been Lois Pausch reading the Vermilion County for Friday, October the 12th, 2018. I look forward to reading to you again next week.